welcome back to the table, ladies. We are now into lesson number 34 in the book of Genesis, and Connie Stample is our teacher today. Hey, Connie.
Hello, Amy.
Thanks for doing this, Connie. We are talking about, at long last, the birth of Isaac.
Yes. I mean, Abraham and Sarah have been waiting 25 years for this.
Oh, this is going to be a great lesson. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this chapter today. It's chapter 21, verses 1 through 34. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. We are using the ESV version, and you are certainly welcome to use others as well. But this is where we are, and I'll read and Connie will teach. And it goes like this. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing that was very displeasing to Abraham on account of him, his son, but God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite of him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him unto a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him in the land of Egypt. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or my descendants or with my posterity, but as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal kindly with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs on the flock apart. And when Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, these 7 ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then to Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the lands of the Philistines.
Thank you, Amy. Well, we're covering a lot in this chapter, but we're going to take it in parts. We'll start first with the birth of Isaac, because we've been anticipating this ever since Genesis chapter 12, when God sent Abraham out and promised the sentence is numerous as the stars. And so finally, now this child of promise has come. And it's a beautiful thing because as we look at these first verses, we're going to see it says God visited Sarah, as he'd said, and he did to Sarah as he promised. And I think that's probably the key to this chapter's understanding. God does what he says. And finally, 25 years later, God has done what he promised in his time, in his way. And then we find that Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son. Notice the emphasis on this is Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Abraham is the father. She conceived, she bore a son. At the time God had spoken to him, so that means a year after that visit in chapter 18. And we find that Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him Isaac. And Isaac means he laughs. And as we go through these several chapters, we found laughter several times. Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed. There was mocking in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then now we find that this son, he laughs, has arrived. And Sarah says it beautifully because she says that God has made laughter for me. And what a beautiful thing to say, because finally, after waiting so long for a child, and then now bearing this son of promise, Sarah can celebrate because God has done good for her, good to her, and this is a beautiful, beautiful gift for a woman who has no children. And then she also says, everyone who hears will laugh over me. And again, it's the thought, I think, of celebration and joy and God's good gifts to this couple. And then she says, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age, Abraham's old age. And so again, this is God's doing. Beautiful, beautiful thing. And then we find, again, there's trouble. There's conflict. And it has to do with Hagar and Ishmael, the other son of Abraham. It says, when the child grew and was weaned, and so he was maybe 2 years old or some age, it says, Abraham made a great feast on the day when Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she'd borne to Abraham, laughing. And by context and by what we know in Galatians in the New Testament, we know that this was not laughing in celebration. This was laughing in some kind of mocking or jest. And this upset Sarah. So she told Abraham that he should cast out the slave woman and her son. And Abraham did not want to do that because he loved Ishmael. But God said, listen to Sarah and do as I tell you, because it's going to be through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And again, these are the children of promise who will be the spiritual children, those who will follow God. And so then we find the account where Abraham actually sends Hagar and Ishmael away with only a small amount of provisions, water and a little bit of food, which they quickly run out of, and then they're in a desperate situation. And we find that Hagar sets Ishmael underneath a bush or a tree, and she goes a little bit distance away because she doesn't want to watch him die. And she cries out to the Lord. And there's this theme of crying out to the Lord, but the Lord hearing. And I don't know if you remember, but when Hagar was in the wilderness before in a desperate situation, pregnant with Ishmael, God told her that she was going to have a son and his name was going to be Ishmael, which means God hears.
Yes.
And so God hears the cry of Ishmael, who's 15 or some age, and he hears the cry of Hagar, the slave woman who's been cast out. And then we find God in his grace reveals a well of water to them and sustains them and promises that he will be with Ishmael. And I think just going through this account, we know that Sarah is the wife and she's bearing the child of promise, but God cares for Hagar and Ishmael also, and he has a plan for their lives also. And so a beautiful thing there. And then again, we find that the Lord speaking to Hagar and says, what troubles you, fear not. Another theme of these chapters.
Yeah.
Who fears God? Do we fear our circumstances? Do we know the one who provides for us? So beautiful thing. All right, so then we find God providing and protecting for Hagar and Ishmael, and then some more details about Ishmael's life and how he gets a wife and where he lives and how he becomes a mighty man of the bow. And then we have, at the end of this chapter, another account with Abimelech, that king of the Philistines, the king of Canaan. And so he comes to Abraham, and he wants to have a treaty with Abraham. And the reason is because he recognizes God is with you in all that you do. And so he understands this principle of Abraham has been chosen, and God is blessing him, and he wants to be a friend of Abraham. And then so they have they do a covenant ceremony. And then we also find out that there is some problems between them. Again, it's fighting over water because that area of the world is very dry and a well is important. And so we find out that there's a well that's disputed, and Abraham explains that his men dug the well, and they come to an agreement. And then this well is called Beersheba, which means well of seven or well of the oath. And we find that the covenant was formed by cutting apart seven lambs, and that's how they went about doing it. As we consider this chapter, though, it's so good to look at how God fulfills his promises.
Yeah.
And also, I think how God works differently in different people's lives. We look at Sarah, we look at Hagar, different situations. One's a princess, one's a slave woman, but God listens to them and provides for them and acts in their lives. And I really hope that today you and I, Amy, and the women who are listening will be able to say, God is good.
Yes.
And my life doesn't look like someone else's, but God has a plan and purpose for me.
Amen. I think so too, Connie. Thank you. Well, ladies, we are going to be talking about this a little bit more and looking at other places in Scripture where God talks about this in the New Testament. So we're going to do that with Nancy LeMay in just a moment. We'll be right back.